Now back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show, which is presented to you by Power Planter Earth Augers, the official digging tool. To find the right size for your digging project, visit powerplanter.com. Now here are your hosts, Joey and Holly Baird.
Welcome back to the Wisconsin Vegetable Gardener Radio Show. You want to plant, or I guess it would be a tree, that stays green all year long, requires really very little maintenance, but can create a barrier between properties and habitat for the wildlife in your area, in your neighborhood, on your farm, your homestead. Well, evergreen trees probably is the answer to that requirement. Evergreen trees require very little maintenance, very little trimming. If left naturally, they will grow to the traditional form that we're familiar with. But they do require watering, especially the first year if they're not naturally planted in that environment, and you need to properly water it. Now, evergreens come in a multitude of different varieties or species, I guess would be the correct terminology, Holly. About how many are we looking at?
Well, there's about 15 very popular ones.
Okay.
And then there's also ones that might be like more of like a hybrid, you know, things
cross.
Change.
Yeah,
throughout the years. So, yeah.
Well, see, growing up on the farm, one of the properties that we had at the old home place, I went to the woods and just took a 5-gallon bucket and just dug up little saplings or little Christmas trees, little evergreens, brought them and planted them in that area. And they grew very, very well. Now, these were not the traditional Bob Ross happy painting Christmas tree, evergreen trees like you see. But I did have enough friends and they all liked each other. So I planted them all together, but that worked very well. Now, what many people may choose to do is on their homestead, on their city lot, they will go to their garden center and purchase specific spruces or varieties of evergreens in order to create a barrier, create a wall, a living wall, so to speak, to keep their privacy.
Right. And that's, you know, that people a lot of times will do that even in the city with those smaller arborvitae,
mm-hmm.
which is a kind of evergreen. So, yeah, that's definitely an option. So the biggest thing that when it comes to planting evergreens is choosing the correct place. So evergreens do have some difficulty when it comes to high winds and dry areas,
mm-hmm.
or dry soil areas. So if you are trying to build a property wall, you might want to consider that if it's an area where that might get a lot of high winds, it could hurt the evergreen.
Well, here, growing up on the farm, I was always told when we bought a new piece of property, oh, that soil's no good because there's a lot of evergreen Christmas trees growing on it. So we'll turn that into a pasture or whatever the case. So how true is that? Oh, it must be poor soil because there's pine trees on it.
It's not completely.
Or evergreen trees. Pine trees are different than evergreen to a certain degree, yeah.
Right. It's not completely true, but they can handle some clay. So it's not poor soil necessarily,
uh-huh.
but it could be, I mean, there's a chance. They are a little bit more forgiving than whether, you know, like a tomato plant.
Right. But also you have to keep in mind that if nature put 3 or 4 or 5 evergreens in part of a plain, they're going to reproduce and more little evergreens will continue to develop and grow. And then you begin to have an evergreen forest. Just the progression of nature. So we do want to water if we are buying a specific species of evergreen from our garden center and we plant it. We want to plant it in the same level in which it came in the container. And then we want to water it regularly. And like I said at the beginning, we don't have to necessarily prune or trim or shape or mold it. It will somewhat do that on its own. That's how they grow.
Right. That's correct. You don't have to do a lot of maintenance in regards to that. One thing you want to keep in mind is snow or ice.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do live in an area that gets both or either, those branches, since they are kind of heavy to begin with those needles, once snow and ice gets on them, especially ice, that can weigh them down more, and then that could cause them to snap off and break. So you want to be mindful of that. And it can stress the plant out, and that's not good either. So you definitely want to think about that. Now, if you ever do need to fertilize them, they do sell different fertilizers for your evergreen, and you want to make sure that when you plant it, you don't fertilize it in the planting hole. You would fertilize it after you plant
it. Okay. And evergreens are very slow growers, so I don't want you to think that, oh, we're going to put 12 evergreens in the back of the property, and that will blow that'll grow a living wall in just a few years. They are very slow growers and can greatly absorb the nutrients in the soil. And then in very sandy areas, where the pH is more basic, your evergreen may have difficulty absorbing the nutrients that it needs, and then you will begin to see a palish green on the needles. This may be a lack of nitrogen, just like in the garden, tomatoes or peppers, whatever. If that discoloration starts to occur, your first instinct should be maybe it needs nitrogen. Maybe it's not getting enough green, nitrogen in order to green up correctly. So then you would add a requirement that has a higher first number. Obviously, we don't want to eliminate or forget about the potassium and phosphate, the second and third numbers. But we want to be aware of what we're getting ourselves into.
Definitely. And so there are some problems that...
Well, before we want to use a slow release fertilizer to start off with. If we get to see this problem persist very rapidly, then we want to look at like a Tree Secret from Dr. Jim's. It's a liquid that will instantly allow the plant to uptake the nutrient to try to fix the problem more rapidly than slower.
Right. And sometimes even if they look a little less than green, just giving them a boost of nitrogen can be helpful too. So
a natural energy shot.
Yeah, exactly. So there are some problems that evergreens can have. And one of them is bagworms. And so bagworms are, I think it's a type of caterpillar. Yeah. And so you can check for those in the late winter or early spring. And then if you want to, it's best just to remove them. You'll see these like little cocoons hanging from the evergreen, and then they could potentially eat the evergreen or kind of harm it in that way, damage it. So you want to get rid of the bagworms.
Now there's good needle drop and there is bad needle drop. The natural progression of the tree growing, it's naturally going to lose a certain number of needles or certain percentage of needles over the growing season and over the lifespan, and that's why you see pine needles underneath pine trees. What you want to be not doing, you do not want to go in there and rake those things up to bare soil, because that is a protective mechanism in which the tree has implemented by nature over thousands of years in order to protect itself. Yes, you can, if there's 3 or 4 or 5 inches of pine needles that have fail there. Pine needles take a very long time to break down, and while on the tree, the pH level of those pine needles are about 3.5 on the acidity scale, 7 being neutral and 14 being alkaline. You can utilize those needles once they have fallen, because in the garden as a mulch, because by the time they will break down, that 3.5 has neutralized. And the garden myth that pine needles will make your soil acidic, you put pine needles around blueberry plants because it will make the soil acidic, simply is not true. Science has debunked that multiple times over. So you can utilize pine needles as a great mulch that doesn't break down. So if you have a lot of pine needles, you can put them around your asparagus plants or your rhubarb or a perennial area, so, and keep building it up. That works very, very well in that aspect. But there is bad needle drop, too.
Right. So, yep, there is bad needle drop. So there's a few different things. One is called tip blight, and it's called Diplodia tip blight. And it's very common, especially if you have an Austrian pine. And you'll see that the tips of the branches turn brown and die. And this usually starts at the bottom branches and moves its way up. So you can prune out the infected tips, and that will slow the progress of the disease.
So you want to be aware of this. It's not, you always, You know, if you live on a farm, you don't really, you know, pay much attention. But if you've got these specifically growing in your property for property value, for protection, for privacy, it's very important to be aware of the problems that it may be developing.
Right. And a lot of these problems will develop at the base of the tree. And
which is beneficial, that you don't have to get on a ladder and go, well, I think this, you can physically look at it right then and there as you walk up to it.
Right. And that's something to keep in mind. You can take a look at your tree, walk around it, you know, a few times a year and think, okay, this branch is turning brown and going to fall off. What is causing this?
And if you do not, I mean, the internet is a phenomenal tool. However, when it comes to the health and well-being of your evergreen tree, your maple tree, your pine, your oak tree, your whatever elm tree, it is well worth the investment to get a hold of a certified arborist for them to come out. And these people have gone to school for a long time. They've seen a lot of things. And then they will be able to address the situation and say, here's what we need to do. Here's what you don't need to do. Maybe we can inject it with some type of liquid in order to allow the healing process, like an IV for the tree. That is a real thing, to get the tree back going again. Because if an arborist can inject a tree or treat a tree and you get 10 more years out of it rather than just mowing it down, that's a big, big deal. Because 10 years is a long time if you can get that much more life out of a tree versus just mowing it down and planting some shrubs or something else in that location.
Definitely. So then another issue would be pine needle scale. And just like any scale, this is a problem. A lot of times it just eats your whole tree. This happened to one of our dwarf lime.
Dwarf lime trees,
tree.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so basically... Excuse me. Scales are little bugs, little insects, and then they crawl between like the, on ours, it was like they kind of hosted off of the leaves mm-hmm. for that. And so on this one, on the pine needle scale is they do the same thing and they hatch a bunch of eggs and it can be problematic. So if you can catch it quickly, then you can help eradicate it. And it's not good.
White pine decline. I want to touch on that one before we get out of the segment because I think that one's quite important. White pine are not well adapted to heavy clays and humidity of the summer. So this is not the type of tree in which you want to grow if you're in the southern areas or you're in a very hot climate. It doesn't do well. Consequently, they may struggle to establish a robust root system, and that's the whole key to these things is get that good root system so it can reach out, branch out under the ground and get the nutrients and nutriences that they need. They will decline over time and develop other disease problems. Provide white pines with good, well-drained soil and ample moisture during dry periods. And so it's, you know, when we talk about watering, especially on younger trees that are not very well established, it's not uncommon. It's not a bad thing to have an irrigation system set up to water trees. Everybody thinks irrigation has to be vegetables and flowers, but it can be, and many people do hook it up for their trees.
Right. And I think that this also, the white pine decline, the white pine problem, well, it kind of debunks your old wife's tale that, oh, that land is bad because right. It has bad soil or whatever, has trees on it. But where you grew up, it's hot and humid, so I highly doubt that there's going to be white pine trees there.
Right.
Yeah. For more information, please visit thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com.